You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Buckeye fans, and welcome to another episode of the Bucknuts Happy Hour. I'm Patrick Murphy, and it's been a minute. I was on vacation 2 weeks ago. I was over in Europe, and then I came back, and last week I had some sort of head cold where I could hardly talk. Fortunately, I could still write, but I figured you guys didn't want to hear a podcast or video from a guy who was struggling to speak. So we didn't do a podcast last week, but we are back with another Bucknuts Happy Hour this week. Got a PBR here. Keeping it simple. It's a Friday. We're recording this on Friday, May 3rd, the day before May the 4th be with you, and Cinco de Mayo on Sunday. So hope you all have a big weekend planned. Anyway, pouring this out. Today we're going to talk transfer portal and discuss what the Buckeyes have done now that the secondary window is closed. We'll mostly touch on football here, but we will touch on some basketball at the end. The Buckeyes just picked up another commitment. If you missed that, we'll address on some of that here. But to help me talk about it, we're bringing in Dave Biddle. Dave, what's going on, my friend?
Patrick, good to see you. I am not surprised you mentioned tomorrow is May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. You and I are big Star Wars fans. I thought I was a bigger Star Wars fan probably than anybody at Bucknuts until I met you. I think you got me beat, which is saying a lot. But good to be with you, sir.
I spend a lot of time on Star Wars stuff, but we won't go into that. We're really here to talk about the Columbus Crew, right? That's what this podcast is actually about.
I'm just glad that 24/7 sending us down to Mexico. That's going to be fun. You know, and we get to go down there, obviously, for like – couple weeks, so that'll be good. Let's hope we actually make it back, but we'll have fun while we're down there regardless.
Exactly. No, just kidding. We are going to talk Buckeyes. Dave, ooh, what you got there?
A little Blue Moon.
Nice.
Belgian white. All right. It's a little early, but it's Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were talking about earlier, it's Friday afternoon. We're good. This isn't, I've done this on a Tuesday afternoon and still had a beer. So, you know, it's one beer, right? Like, doesn't hurt anybody.
As far as you know, yep.
Exactly. All right, Dave. Transfer portal window is closed. Now, from my understanding, and I'm still trying to grasp this multiple years in, Buckeyes could still add players, right, out of the transfer portal. They just, if you were going to enter the transfer portal at this point, you cannot play for your new school next season. So, in theory, the roster is not completely set right now, but more or less, I think we expect this to be what the business end of it is done for the Buckeyes. So if you look at it overall, and let's go back to the first transfer portal window two, what kind of grade would you give the Buckeyes in terms of the additions they made, people they held on to, and the guys that departed?
I would have to give them an A. I mean, maybe A plus. You know, I think A might be, you know, grading tough because here's why I say that. I mean, Now, all of the kids, I'm sure they would have preferred, I mean, depth is good. I'm sure there's a couple of kids in there that if you ask the coach, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe he wasn't going to be in the two deep, but we wish he would have stayed. Fine. But I don't think they lost anybody other than maybe Dallin Hayden, who was at least in the plans for, like, meaningful playing time. And Dallin was in line to be the number three tailback. And that's the biggest loss in the portal for the Buckeyes is Dallin Hayden. Meanwhile, you get the number one player in the portal, period, in Caleb Downs. You get probably your starting quarterback in Will Howard, your starting center in Seth McLaughlin, a guy that's going to add really good depth at tight end and is going to play a lot, Will Kaczmarek. And then you get the number one quarterback recruit in the country who technically counts as a transfer because he was there for a couple of weeks, Julian Sand. So I would have to, when you factor in arrivals and departures, I would have to give them at least an A, maybe an A+, Patrick.
While we're talking about guys that came in, because Ohio State has not added anybody since that first portal window, do you think Ryan Day owes Nick Saban like a nice steak dinner or something for going out there and retiring and opening up the additions of Caleb Downs and Julian Sand?
Well, I think, you know, this is just Nick's way of maybe paying Ryan Day back for that national championship game where Ohio State had to run like the half their team out there. I don't think it would have mattered. That was a really good Ohio State team in 2020. Yeah. And we're glad they even had a season. Making it to the national championship game was awesome. And then it was like, you had like half the team out there against this juggernaut. It was one of the best Saban teams. So that's how I look at it. Like Saban's just like paying back Ryan Day for, having that half a team in that national championship game. No, but there's no doubt, Patrick, that nobody benefited more from the retirement of Nick Saban than Ohio State. Auburn fans are probably thinking, we're benefiting. We'll see, Auburn. You got to beat Kalen DeBoer, but Ohio State benefited more than anybody. I almost can't believe that Caleb Downs is still here. Now, they don't have a lot of numbers at safety, but my God, are they good at safety. I mean, I'm still surprised Lathan Ransom came back. That's awesome. And then you add Caleb Downs, and you still have Malik Hartford as a top backup, Jaden Bonsu. I mean, Caleb Downs, he's going to be a superstar here. And as every Buckeye fan knows, it's going to be fun seeing another number two back there playing safety for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I sat there during the spring game. We were out there for a few practices throughout spring, but watching Caleb Downs in the spring game, it's funny because I've told the story a few times on here. After one of Ohio State's games this season, I think it was a noon kickoff, we got back to the press box, and there's this area in the press box, you know, Dave, where there's a bunch of tables and some TVs and some guys are sitting out there. Alabama was playing, I forget who, but it was the game that Caleb Downs had the interception return. And I just remember talking to a few of the other guys sitting there like, man, if he had come to Ohio State, like how different, the secondary is already really good. How much better would it be with a player like that in there? No disrespect to Josh Proctor or anyone else on the roster. And then just a few months later, Caleb Downs on the field for the Buckeyes as I sat in that very same press box, just kind of amazed that has happened. And this is the college football world we live in these days. You mentioned Julian Sand too. We don't need to go through all these guys. We talked about him a lot during spring, but there was a lot of hype. I feel like a 2-week period, Julian Sand got really hot. And that last practice we went to, I know you got there a little late. You didn't see him when he was zipping the ball around as much as he was early on, but then he cools off. The spring game wasn't, this electrifying performance. How do you evaluate Julian Sand going forward? As you mentioned, you think Will Howard's going to be the starter. He's a freshman with a lot of talent. What do you see from him?
Yeah, I think he struggled in the spring game. He struggled half of that scrimmage that you're talking about. The day before the spring game on that Friday, They were out there at Ohio Stadium. That was his first time throwing a ball in Ohio Stadium. That was Chip Kelly's first time in Ohio Stadium, period, which is crazy to think about that Friday. I had to do Bucknuts Morning 5. Remember, they were supposed to do that like at 10:30 or something. They moved it to like 8:30. So I had to do the Bucknuts Morning 5 that morning, did that, and ran over there. And I know one of our colleagues, one of our friends was saying, you must be Julian Sand's bad luck because he was like cooking before you got here. Now he's out here looking like Steve Belisari. But here's what I tell everybody, Patrick. Like, yeah, he struggled in the spring game. And yeah, if you're out there on Friday, he looked great half of it and then looked not great half of it. Overall in spring, if you would have told anybody this is what Julian Sand does, by the end of spring, Ryan Day is going to say, he's in the mix to be the starter. I think everybody had been like, wow. So I think overall, Julian Sand had a really good spring, probably better than people thought. He just didn't have a good spring game and didn't have a good second half of the scrimmage. I think overall, you should be bullish on Julian Sand. I think he's going to be probably the number three quarterback this year, maybe challenged to be the backup. Somebody's injuries are going to happen. Guys are going to underperform. Things are going to happen. But I think next year at this time, I think we're going to be talking about Julian Sand as clearly the starting quarterback for the 2025 Buckeyes. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I talked with a buddy of mine a couple nights ago, and he was, you know, what do you make of Julian Sand? You know, could he start at some point this season? And the thing I said was like, let's have a little patience here. If he's good enough, if they need him to play in 2024, I think he probably can. I think it's better for him if he gets to, you know, be the backup, be the third string, get some playing time under his belt when the games are no longer in question. You don't have to start. It's great if you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence who can come in. I know he didn't start day one, but he started as a freshman. But that just doesn't always happen. And sometimes when it does happen, it's not for the right reasons. So I think, you know, let Julian Sand settle in. He's only been here a few months. Same with Aaron Nolan. Let them get comfortable. If they need to step in, so be it. But you've still got two more seasons at least with these guys. And I don't know if you need to rush it quite a bit, especially because of all the other talent you have in that quarterback room. All right, Dave, let's move along. We touched on this, I think, initially after the first transfer portal window, but I want to see if anything's changed in your mind. Any guy that really surprised you by jumping in the transfer portal and leaving Ohio State?
No, it's one of those things where I hesitated to like even name names, but I kind of gave hints, and like two of the guys that jumped in my mind right away, if I think this would make sense for them and for Ohio State. Not that Ohio State really needed the numbers, although now some walk-ons I think are going to be bumped up. You know, guys like TC Caffey, guys like Pat Gerd, guys like Inky Jones, Brenton Inky Jones, a safety from Steubenville who had a ton of D1 offers coming out and picked Ohio State. But Enoch Vamahi, Patrick, is a guy that right away I was like, okay, he's entering his sixth year. They threw him a bone in the Cotton Bowl to let him start. He wasn't even going to be the top backup guard off the bench. That would have been Austin Siverveld. I've been calling him Siverveld. Austin Siverveld, redshirt freshman from Lakota East, is going to be your top backup guard. Luke Montgomery as well, both those guys. And, assuming that Carson Hinsman is a starter. So Vamahi makes a lot of sense. The other guy that I was like, Jahad Carter was a good player at Syracuse. Like, he was a good player. You got on the Syracuse message boards. Yes, they do have them. They were upset. Those four or five fans on there were upset that he left Syracuse to come to Ohio State because he was a really good player. Couldn't see the field here. And then it got worse this year because you bring in Caleb Downs. He wasn't going to see the field. Was he even going to be better than Malik Hartford? Probably not. So it made a lot of sense for Jahad Carter and Enoch Vamahi. I think Keon Grays can be a solid receiver somewhere. He would have been like the seventh receiver here. So, no, the guys they lost, Dallin's the one that if you could tell me, could we keep any of them? I would take just for depth, but I get it, man. And I'm going to be rooting for him at Colorado. I'll be rooting for him at Colorado for sure. Hopefully Dion can get a offensive line to both protect his son and Dallin. But, no, I mean, what about you? I wasn't surprised at anybody they lost. What about you?
No, there weren't any huge surprises at the time, because if you remember back right after the Cotton Bowl, you had Noah Rogers, Bryson Rogers enter the portal, and that was after Julian Fleming, and it was kind of like, what's going on with Ohio State's receivers? Like, that had been the room that was basically like untouchable, even though there was so much depth there, not to say some guys didn't transfer. So that was a little surprising to see at the time, and for Julian Fleming, like, that's a guy who I think still could serve a role in this offense, just given his experience. But I think now he gets to go to a place like Penn State, now that we've kind of seen it all play out, where he'll have a much bigger role, most likely, assuming he can stay healthy. So makes sense there. Noah Rogers obviously goes back home. So, again, makes sense kind of when you see it all play out. But no, not a ton of surprises, I don't think. I'm just scanning through here, making sure we didn't forget anybody. But yeah, I mean, these guys, you know, Chip Tranum was a little bit interesting just because he transferred home to Ohio State. Now he's going down to Kentucky. But again, not surprising given the role he was going to have I think Kai Stokes was a guy who people were hopeful for 2 years ago, but just didn't ever pan out, and he'll have an opportunity now at Cincinnati. So I agree with you.
It's crazy. They have guys that are good players. Jair Brown will probably start for LSU. They also have J.K. Johnson there. Brian Kelly is getting, and it's smart. Like, Ohio State's just crushing it with corners. Like, it's like wide receivers. Like, you can get, like, the guys that, like, are good but can't quite crack, you know, the starting lineup of the two deep at Ohio State. Like, get those guys. Brian Kelly, that's what he's doing at LSU. Jair Brown, J.K. Johnson. And it doesn't hurt Ohio State. Those guys were not going to see the field. And I think Jair Brown is going to be, like, a good player at LSU. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Alvin Simpson Hunt is the number five corner when I do the depth chart. I mean, right? I mean, it's like, Denzel Burke, Davis Nigbinosun on the outside, and then Jordan Hancock, slot corner, slot safety. I mean, it's got to be the top three corner group in the country. And then you have Jermaine Matthews as your number four corner. Are you kidding me? And he can play the slot. They're going to get him in there. Make sure Calvin Simpson Hunt is a dude. He's your number five corner. It's crazy. Yeah,
it is. I wrote the other day about Ohio State's kind of retention in the portal and why guys were staying. You can read that on Bucknuts, but long story short, I think there are two main factors. One, people like being at Ohio State, first of all. There's an opportunity to win a national championship this year. And even if you aren't one of the guys that's on the field most of the snaps on Saturdays, you're still part of this team. You still get a ring. Like, I've talked to guys that were on that 2014 team. Yeah. You talk to guys on that 2014 team that, you know, came on later, you know, the next couple of years. They feel just as much a part of winning that national championship as, you know, JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, all, you know, anybody who started for that team. So this is a chance for those guys to win a national championship. I also think there's opportunity after next season. You're going to lose a lot of guys if you're Ohio State, just because of the pure number of guys that came back for their senior year. So if you're able to wait one more year, a year that you could be a national champion, and play the year after with those opportunities, I think it makes sense, unless there's a place that you know you want to go. I don't know if you want to name names or anything, Dave, but are there guys on this team that you thought were going to jump in the transfer portal that didn't, not including the quarterbacks, because I want to touch on them separately?
Yeah, I mean, not including the quarterbacks, as I mentioned on the Morning Five today, like, I would have definitely lost money, and happily so, that I just felt like the odds were in favor that they were going to lose one of the five quarterbacks. I'm thrilled they didn't. I think they're going to need more than one. Depth is important. Season's longer this year, hopefully, for the Ohio State. That assumes you make the playoffs and you advance. So other than that, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not really surprised. You could say, like, Kojo Antwi, but as I was saying, Kojo's like a mainstay on special teams. Now, is that why a four-star wide receiver from Georgia came to Ohio State, to be a mainstay on special teams as a junior? No, and I get that. But, like, Kojo seems happy here. Now with Keon moving on, Keon Graves, Kojo is going to be, you know, one of the top guys off the bench. He can be like a stalwart on special teams. So I'm really not surprised, Patrick, other than what we're going to get to. I mean, I would have bet one of the quarterbacks was going to transfer. Ryan Day's goal, as you know, is to have four scholarship quarterbacks on the roster each year, which is tough to do. He had a year where he had Justin Fields. Awesome. That's great. That's your starter. Backups were Chugs and Gunnar Hoke. And those were the only two other scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. And those guys were basically walk-ons that were on scholarship, just out of desperation for his talent-wise. Now he's got five guys. I'm sure Ryan Day is tickled pink about this. But, man, I'm surprised. But, no, as far as, like, the other guys, I could be leaving somebody out. But, like they lost guys like Nigel Glover, who was buried on the depth chart. Everybody that they lost was a guy that was buried on the depth chart, maybe other than Dallin. But even Dallin was third. So, no, I'm really not surprised.
Tones here said, that's a pretty big clock, Dave. I just realized you've got a big clock behind you. So I don't know if there's a story with that clock there, but I noticed it too.
It's with our decor here. My wife does everything. We used to have it. We still kind of have a kind of a Venetian theme, but she decided to add a clock from Paris. Yeah, I mean, the man cave is all me. And then everything else is the wife. So we give her credit for this. She's got some our house looking nice. We've got some nice most of the stuff in here is from Italy, but we do have this clock from Paris.
All right, quarterbacks. As I wrote yesterday, all five, Ohio State starts spring with five quarterbacks, ends the spring with five quarterbacks, and now comes out of the transfer portal five quarterbacks. You already mentioned you are surprised that at least one didn't enter the portal. Why do you think that is? You go first, and then I will add if there's anything I think additionally.
Just when you like analyze it rationally in this day and age of college football, if you're sitting there entering spring, maybe a week into spring ball, and somebody told you, okay, what odds would you place at all five of these guys, especially in this day and age, NIL, somebody's going to offer them not only playing time, but maybe more money. What are the odds all five of these guys are going to stay? I would have said there's a chance, and we talked about this a lot, there's a chance. I would have put it maybe at like 33%. There's a 1 in 3 chance that maybe all five would stay, something like that, 40 at the most, definitely lower than 50. That's what I mean. Like, so if I could have bet on this, I would have bet one guy is going to transfer. And I would have bet, even though the boats were burned and I shouldn't have doubted him, Sammy Ball, I probably would have said Devin was the most likely. I didn't think either of the true freshmen would. I didn't think Lincoln Keenholz would. He just got here last June. People forget. They're like, and even though he played in the Cotton Bowl and he actually played in one other game too. Still has 4 years of eligibility left. That didn't count for like his eligibility. So he still got 4 years of eligibility left. Devin was the one I was looking at because you can say, oh, it hasn't been decided yet, but they didn't bring Will Howard here to be a backup. They just didn't. I know that for a fact. I know what he's making in NIL. Not that that's going to be the deciding factor. I just will be surprised if he's not the starter. So, yeah, man, I was mildly – and I wasn't shocked. Definitely happy. Not shocked. Mildly surprised is how I would phrase it, Patrick, that one of the quarterbacks didn't transfer.
Yeah, I think if you break it down – you know, you've got Will Howard and Devin Brown, the two most likely to start. Devin Brown has been emphatic that he will not run away from a challenge here at Ohio State and has stuck to his word. Maybe we should start listening to these guys a little bit more. You've got Will Howard. I know there was a little bit of talk towards the end of spring. Like if Ryan Day didn't say the right things to him, could he enter the transfer portal again? But he just finally seemed to start settling in at Ohio State right towards the end of spring. Why go try and find something new? It's not like he's out of the competition or anything like that. And then you talked about it with Lincoln. You know, this was basically his freshman season. Barely played last year, had just gotten on campus, hasn't even been here a year. He talked about it. I know you wrote a story about it early in spring about, you know, almost saying these aren't the words he used, but, you know, basically he views this as, because of it's his first offseason here, he views it as his chance to develop more so than compete for that job. And I think he's looking at next offseason, which is where Julian Sayin and Aaron Nolan should probably be looking as well. And that's not to say, like I said earlier, that one of those guys, if needed, couldn't step in and play for the Buckeyes. But you look at 2025, I think that's when those three and maybe even Devin Brown really will battle for that job, which is just incredible. You mentioned it earlier. Five scholarship quarterbacks, five really good scholarship quarterbacks too. It's right. Not like they just picked up a couple guys to have bodies in there. Right. You know, we talk about depth. I mean, Ryan Day said it multiple times this spring. You may need more than one quarterback. Do you think they do? Do you think they use, not necessarily, we're not predicting injury or anything here, but do you think Ryan is a bit more loose with getting the backups into the games this year, even at a position like quarterback?
I think because of Devin staying, presuming Will is going to be the starter, I think, and even though Will is good, they wouldn't need to use Devin as the goal line quarterback, for example, because Will can do that really well. But maybe just to get Devin a role, maybe to kind of almost thank him for sticking around, maybe to take some hits off of Will. I could see them saying, assuming that – if you're the coach and you're thinking, okay, we prefer Will as the starter, but when we're at the goal line, Devin is equally as effective. Let's say that's the case where you're not hurting yourself. Maybe you're not even at hand, but you're not hurting yourself. If they're equal at the goal line running the ball, maybe that'll be Devin's role. And they're going to make sure. And another thing about the schedule this year, it's interesting especially with Oregon joining and, you know, all the other three as well, but going at Oregon, that The in-conference schedule is tough. The out-of-conference schedule is a joke, but I'm here for that because the in-conference, you've got to go at Penn State, at Oregon, Michigan here. It's really a three-game regular season, but those are going to be like three huge, huge games. So my point is there's going to be more opportunities theoretically to get the backups in the game. So I'm thinking like if they have a sizable lead beginning of the fourth quarter, I think they're going to get Devin Brown in there, maybe some of the other guys. I think probably Ryan Day will have some type of package for Devin Brown just to keep him ready. And almost to, you know, again, they're not going to do it just to thank him for sticking around, but like presuming it's not a drop off, I think they're going to have some type of role for him. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to like, again, I've been saying Ryan Day finally is giving no F's about feelings. Like they're here to win it. But like Devin Brown, now he might get hurt the first time he does it, but he's a willing, tough runner. Is he like super, super elusive and super fast? No, but he's athletic and he's tough and he's big. I think he's bigger than people think. I was walking off the field during spring asking him. It was the day before they made it official that he was keeping the 33. I asked him, like, are you definitely keeping the 33? He said, yes. And I remember thinking, like, Devin's a little bigger than what I thought. Like, he's a big boy. He's every bit of 6'3", and he's a willing runner. So I think they'll have some type of role for him, if I had to guess.
We've got the foundation in the house here. Said, are you going to give OSU Hoops some love? We're not done yet. yes.
I will talk
about Ohio State Hoops here in just a few minutes once we get Dave out of here after we're done talking football.
Nice work. Nice work, Brian, Cardale, the boys. Good work.
Yeah. All right, Dave, sticking with the quarterback situation and what you were saying, I think that's an interesting idea of a Devin Brown package, not only for what you were saying, but also to keep Will Howard healthy. I mean, if you don't have to run Will Howard at the goal line and things, I mean, I know he's good at that, and that's part of what he's here for. But if you see in practice that Devin Brown can do those same things, which given what he was supposed to do last year, I imagine that he can, you know, why risk your starting quarterback? Now, if you're in hurry up and you're going and whatnot, fine. You know, you need to sneak Will Howard, go for it. But I think that's an interesting idea. And I would like, honestly, you know, if you're up big at halftime in some of these early games, get Will Howard out. Let Devin Brown play some, and then get some of the young guys. You know, you just, as Ryan Day has alluded to, 2014, you just never know if you needed to go to that third string guy. I mean, even last year, even last year that happens with Lincoln having to play in the Cotton Bowl. You know, imagine if Lincoln had gotten, you know, I know you don't want to burn a guy's red shirt, but look, Julian Sain isn't hanging around here for 4 or 5 years. Let's be clear about that. Oh, look, your puppy. There you go.
Bring it, Buckeye Nation. Scooby, say hi. Well, yeah, what's up?
All right. The last thing I wanted to ask Dave, the Buckeyes have not added the offensive lineman that many people thought they might. I don't, in looking at the portal, see an obvious fit for them at that position, but what do you think of them not adding that offensive lineman? And is there anybody out there that you think they could still add, regardless of position, for the Buckeyes? You know, Bill Kerlick has talked about a few safeties and some of his stuff. What do you make of maybe where else they could add?
I just like the confidence of the foundation here. We're going to win the Natty in football and basketball this year. By the way, my guy Scotty Vegas, who I do a show with here in Columbus, does have a parlay bet on Ohio State to win the national championship in both. And if it cashes, we're going to do our show exclusively from Bermuda. Like, we're moving to Bermuda. So it's like, let's go. Let's just get it done. Foundation is getting it done for us. Ohio State football national championship followed by the basketball national championship. Let's do it. As far as offensive linemen in the portal, here's the thing. Like, and if you've been guilty of this, raise your hand. I'm going to be the first to raise my hand. Like, they got to get somebody in the portal in the offensive line. Like, okay, now go look at the portal and tell me who's an upgrade over even anybody on their two deep, let alone their – forget their starters. Like, I look at the portal, the best tackle in there, I'm like, okay, there's no way he's better than Josh Simmons or Josh Fryer. He's not better than Tegra. Is he better than George Fitzpatrick or Zed Michalski? Maybe. I don't know. So that's what you're looking at right now. Probably not better than George Fitzpatrick. That's what you're looking at in the portal. So it's easy to say, hey, man, just go to the portal. The portal is like, right? There's like tons of talent there. Just bring them in, right? You got the foundation. They'll take care of them. It's not that easy because there's nobody good in the portal on the offensive line right now. And when I say right now, now the portal's closed. So they're going to roll with what they got. And I actually think this offensive line might pleasantly surprise some people. And I think Chip Kelly's going to be a big reason why.
Yeah, I ranked my concerns a couple weeks ago of position groups coming out of spring practice. And I had moved offensive line from first to second because I do think you found some things. You know, I think whoever they go with at that right guard spot, be it Tegra, Luke Montgomery, or Carson Hinsman, that's one of those guys I think will be solid. Whoever comes out of that group. We didn't get to see a ton of Josh Fryer, but everybody we talked to is talking about how he's really put in the work this offseason. And, you know, sometimes that is results come the fall, sometimes not, but we're choosing to be optimistic and excited about the season right now. So let's hope Josh Fryer takes a jump. Well, then you're in a pretty good spot, right? Whereas with quarterback, you still don't really have the answers yet. So that's kind of my thought on there. And then the last part of that question, anywhere else you think they may add from the transfer portal?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe safety.
Yeah.
Maybe safety just because of numbers. But you look at it, they have, including the kid that hasn't enrolled yet who's coming in, they'll have six scholarship safeties. So they only have, the guys that have transferred, you know, with Jahad Carter and Cedric Hawkins, they're like right now, they would have five scholarship safeties on the roster because Sonny's moved. And I forget the young man's name from Florida that hasn't enrolled yet. He was a three-star kid in the class. He'll enroll in June. So that'll give them six scholarship safeties. Here's the thing, though. Brenton Inky Jones, number 32, is entering his third year. Every time we're out there, he's making plays. It reminds me of, like, the defensive version of Xavier Johnson. We would be out there last, like, 3 years ago, right? I'd be like, this Xavier Johnson guy's always making plays when we're out here. Keep an eye on him. Ended up being, like, a very good preferred walk-on who ended up being like on scholarship. I'm seeing that out of Inky Jones. So he's a guy to keep in mind for depth, but I still, especially since we know from one of our colleagues who knows this inside and out, I don't want to throw his name out there in case he doesn't want it out there, but he knows that that's what they're looking at right now is safety. So I'll be surprised if they don't land a safety just for depth. But in another walk-on that I know they like, I'm a little biased here because I've known his father for a long time. I mean, keep an eye on young Rodzinski. Ryan Rodzinski is a guy that I've heard that Matt Guerrieri likes, who redshirt freshman from right here in Columbus, Bishop Watterson, played safety and quarterback in high school, 4 years of eligibility left, redshirt freshman. So Ryan Rodzinski is another guy that can help as a walk-on. But yeah, Patrick, I think, you know, given the information that we know, it sounds like they're definitely kicking the tires on a few safeties, and they'll probably bring one in on scholarship just for depth.
Leroy Roker, for those not watching this live.
Thank you, Leroy Roker. Thank you.
I knew you were talking about.
It never failed. I love our listeners. It never failed. You could be like, I forget, who was that backup left guard in 1996? They'll be like, I got you.
Yeah.
Someone will know. I love Buckeye fans.
Howard Wunderlich says, you guys act as if Will Howard is the second coming of C.J. Stroud. Devin Brown should be given equal time until there's a differentiation. Here's what I wrote just the other day when talking about Will Howard. While he will not provide the Buckeyes the kind of polished passer like Justin Fields or C.J. Stroud, he can do enough to win games with the offensive talent that will surround him. So not entirely accurate there. I have actually been a pretty big critic of Will Howard. I've softened that a little bit, but when that name first kind of surfaced as the guy that they were looking at from the transfer portal, and I'm watching, actually, they played Missouri, which was when I'm going back and watching some Missouri games before the Cotton Bowl. And he played pretty well in that game. I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is the right guy. And, you know, I do think with this talent around him, he'll be fine. But, you know, I'm not ready to say anywhere near what C.J. Stroud or Justin Fields has given the Buckeyes. All right, Dave, thank you for your time. We went about a little over 30 minutes there talking some transfer portal football with us. I'm going to talk some hoops now, but I'll let you hop out of here so you can enjoy your blue moon, enjoy your Friday, enjoy your weekend.
Good being with you, Patrick. Thanks for having me, and go Bucks.
All right. See you, Dave. Thanks to Dave Biddle for jumping on here and doing the the heavy lifting part of the show as we kind of went through the Buckeyes transfer portal so far. Now it's closed, so the Buckeyes transfer portal. I do want to touch on some of what's happened with the basketball team and their transfer portal. As I mentioned off the top, Ohio State added another player from the portal today, Sean Stewart. If you're not familiar with him, that's not a problem. He is a guy who played for Duke last season. He was a McDonald's All-American, a five-star prospect coming out of high school, went to the Montverd Academy to end his career. But at Duke, he only played 8.3 minutes per game last season. So unless you really followed the Duke program or really paid attention to the recruiting rankings and whatnot, you probably are not familiar with him. Steve wrote the breaking story if you want to read about him. I followed up with kind of examining what the Buckeyes are getting in Sean Stewart. Those are both on Bucknuts if you want to go and read those now. But this is a guy who I think his numbers won't reflect what he offers. Like I said, 8.3 minutes a game, only averaged 2.6 points and 3.2 rebounds, a 6'9", 227-pound forward. My understanding is that the Buckeyes feel with both him and Aaron Bradshaw, the center from Kentucky, that these are two guys that were big-time recruits at major blue blood programs and could just never quite find their footing in their first year. But they don't believe that that's because they weren't talented enough. In both cases, there were other guys, more established guys already on the roster. Sean Stewart was playing behind Kyle Filipowski, who was a second-team All-American, Mark Mitchell, who was a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school, and Ryan Young, who was a captain for Duke last year. So, not a lot of room to play there. But when you look at him, versatility, athleticism, plays defense, rebounds, scores at the basket. And then you've got Aaron Bradshaw, who can stretch things a little bit as a 7-foot center. He can shoot from outside more so, can still be a force defensively. But these are two guys that they are willing to take a little bit of a gamble with, I would say. It's not like you're going and getting a guy who you know is immediately going to come in and be an all Big Ten player. But there's certainly reason to believe these guys could be. I mean, these are guys that coming out of high school, people were talking about as potential one and done types, especially in the case of Bradshaw, who are now going to go into their second year, change of scenery, maybe, some pressure off of them a little bit, even though I do believe both guys will play big roles for the Buckeyes, but they're not at these, blue blood programs and have to deliver right away. Now they can come into Ohio State, fit into Jake Diebler's system, and the way they want to play. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Like I said, with Sean Stewart, a lot of athleticism. Buckeyes want to go up and down. He brings versatility in terms of switching and things like that. So a nice mix there. Interesting front court, especially when you throw Devin Royal in, a guy who is much more the scoring type. I'll be interested to see what Jake Diebler does in terms of how he handles minutes for these guys and, what kind of that rotation looks like. Other players that came in, Michi Johnson, you're probably familiar with Michi from his time at Ohio State. Spent basically a year and a half after he enrolled early, that late December, I think it was, of 2020. He ends high school, enrolls early. For his Ohio State career, Michi Johnson averaged 3.2 points per game, shooting 31.9%. He then transfers to South Carolina, where he averages 13.4 points per game and shoots 38.1%, 32.4% from three-point range over the course of the last 2 years. I think that there are some people who think Michi's going to come in and be this elite scorer. He will score, but he is a high-volume shooter. Attempted 6.2 points shots per game, 5.7 from three. It's not like Johnson is this efficient scorer. He's just You got to let him let it fly. And he wasn't really able to do that his first time at Ohio State. I do think it fits better with Jake Diebler's scheme. Last year, you saw guys when he took over just be more free to take shots, accept their misses, those type of things. And I think that's what you'll see from Michi. If you watch him at South Carolina, there were some really good performances. There were also some performances, and I've talked to some people at South Carolina, or you know, people who are South Carolina basketball fans, where you're just like, no, Michi, don't shoot. And sometimes those go in. You know, we see it in the NBA all the time, some of those crazy shots. Michi will take those. He will make some. But at points, I think sometimes you'll be like, what are you doing? Not now type of thing. So you kind of live and die with Michi. Hope he gets hot. And, you know, still a good player. I don't want to disparage him. He's become a very solid player and I think fits in, will help the Buckeyes space the court more, allow them, you know, different than Roddy Gale, who was much more of an attack off the dribble. Now, you will lose his rebounding, his size defensively, but you do spread the floor, can get out in transition, another ball handler in Michi Johnson. And, you know, that chemistry between him and Bruce Thornton is going to be important for the Buckeyes. Going to take a drink here. Cheers. And then the final player that Ohio State added in the transfer portal was Micah Parrish. Played the last few years at San Diego State. He is a guy who numbers aren't alarming in terms, you know, numbers don't jump off the page, I guess is what I'm trying to say, in terms of his statistics. He, at San Diego State, the last two seasons, averaged 8.5 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists, shot 38.5% from the court, 32% from three-point range. What he really brings, more athleticism, more versatility, but experience. This is a guy who played in a national championship game 2 years ago, made the NCAA tournament again, made a run this past year in that national championship game against UConn. He did not score playing 17 minutes, but did have three rebounds, ended up in foul trouble, if I remember correctly, but has been there, been to a Final Four, did score 16 points in a NCAA tournament game. So I think that is the biggest thing that he will bring. It's almost like a different version of what they've gotten in the portal recently with like a Dale Bonner, a guy who had a lot of experience. Maybe he's not going to put up a ton of statistics for you. Buckeye fans may get pissed at him on the message boards during some games, but what he brings in the locker room and then some of that stuff he can add on the court is important that maybe doesn't always get reflected if you're just kind of checking the box score after games. Now the Buckeyes did lose some players, five players, and some good ones. I mentioned Roddy Gale already. He is headed to Michigan. I know that it has been reported that NIL was not the factor here. That is not what I was told about Roddy Gale leaving Ohio State. I've talked about this, if you're a VIP subscriber, on our message boards a little bit more, kind of what I was told, what happened behind the scenes with Roddy Gale. Let's just put it this way. If you're not a subscriber, become a subscriber. You can learn the details of these type of things. But you know, I think if Roddy Gale had it his way, he would still be in a Buckeye uniform. But outside forces wanted other things for him, and he went with that. So that's kind of how I would put all that. Unfortunate for Buckeye fans that he ends up at Michigan, but you know, in the eyes of Roddy Gale, there's an opportunity there. Felix Akpara, a guy who I reported at the end of the season was a transfer portal candidate. Tennessee was a place I said to watch. Felix Akpara comes out and says he's staying at Ohio State. Aaron Bradshaw comes in. That's part of the story, not the full story. And then Felix Akpara enters the transfer portal. Lo and behold, he ends up at Tennessee. This was always a place of interest for him, and I'm not surprised that's where he went. I would be much higher on the Buckeyes if they had been able to keep Felix Akpara, pair him, rotate him, however you want to do it with Aaron Bradshaw. I think you are stacked at the center position then. you know, maybe you still add a Sean Stewart, you know, who knows, but I'd feel really good about the Buckeyes if Felix Akparo were still on this roster with what else they've added. Zed Key heads to Dayton. Not a big surprise there. I was told the conversations with Zed were, you know, if he wanted to come back, the opportunity was there, but that, you know, they were going to do what was best to add from the transfer portal and things like that. Obviously, we've seen that now. And, you know, Zed had to make the decision that was best for him. He's got one season left to play. Go to a place where he can play a lot of basketball. Zed is a guy who, within the walls over at Schottenstein Center, will always be well-respected by this program and, you know, welcome back whenever he wants. Scotty Middleton, I was a bit surprised by this. I know there was some stuff at the end of the season with him, you know, when he wasn't with the team, dealing with some family stuff. I don't think that that, from my understanding, that did not mean that he was transferring. At least that's how Ohio State felt at the time. There were conversations when he got back and he elected to enter the portal. He's going to play at Seton Hall. And then Bowen Hardman, a guy who I always wanted to see more of this past season. And I asked Chris Holtman about it. I asked Jake Diebler about it. I can never really get a straight answer on the record about why you couldn't get Bowen Hardman more playing time when he clearly was an effective three-point shooter. I know, obviously, you have to do more than just shoot threes to be on the court, but, you know, he's a guy who played, what was it? Pull up his stats here. Bowen Hardman played 4.2 minutes per game and shot 42.9% from three-point range. Now, obviously, if you play him over a longer stretch, he takes more shots, that number probably goes down. But to me, I feel like there were more minutes that could have been put on Bowen Hardman. And, you know, not that losing Bowen Hardman is going to cost you anything. He's headed to Akron. But, you know, you need three-point shooting. You didn't have it in Roddy Gale. Bruce Thornton was good, not great. I don't know. Jake Diebler, Chris Holtman know more about basketball than me, but that was kind of my thought. No one could ever give me a straight answer of like, well, he's just awful defensively. That wasn't the case, but, you know, just for an example, or we needed him to rebound better or, you know, whatever was holding him back. I could never get a straight answer on that. So, like I said, I think, you know, the two big losses of this group, Felix Akparo, number one, Roddy Gale, number two, and then Scotty Middleton. We'll see where his career goes. I liked him in spurts. I think after Jake Diebler took over and let them play more free and he was able to shoot without thinking about things, he was a better player offensively, a guy that I liked. And, you know, I think the Buckeyes can replace someone like that, but still just a guy you'd like to keep in your program. But again, conversations were had, and I will leave it at that. So I saw a couple questions about the final scholarship. Todd McElmurry, I'm not sure if I said that right, apologies, asked any thoughts on who grabs the final hoop scholarship. And then our friend Jermaine H. Runnels, does OSU need another wing? That's where I think you got to go with that scholarship. I don't have a name for you right now that I'd feel comfortable reporting, but I think you need somebody who can, you know, that 3-and-D type of player that, you know, you hear about in the NBA. It's not an easy position to find for sure, but, you know, guy who can shoot, who will keep defenses honest, can attack a little bit too, cut, things like that, and then also can D up on the outside. I think that's the position or the player that Ohio State is missing. You know, you haven't really replaced Jameson Battle's three-point shooting. Michi will do some of that, but from a different spot. You know, if you can get another guy who can shoot and you're comfortable with defensively, can do some of the simple things, I think that would be, you know, then you're starting to look at this roster and see kind of how it all comes together, and I think you feel pretty good about things. So that is where I expect the Buckeyes to go. Obviously, it depends on, you know, who's out there and how they feel about those guys, but it's yeah, that is the spot still that I think is kind of up for grabs here in terms of that final scholarship and probably a place in the starting lineup if you're asking, starting five if you're asking me. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, going a little bit shorter than we've gone on some of these recent shows, but transfer portal, I think we hit on pretty much everything here. Thank you to Dave Biddle for jumping on, gave some good insight on the football side of the transfer portal. Remember, windows closed, meaning guys can't just jump in without having to sit out next season. Doesn't mean you can't still add guys. So especially on the basketball side, as we just mentioned, there's a scholarship open. Football, as Bill Kerlick reported, there's a few safeties that they've been interested in. Go read his stuff to find out more about them. So maybe not the last time we talk about the transfer portal, but you don't have to worry about guys bolting for the transfer portal now, unless something crazy happens. Anyway, Buckeye fans, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bucknuts Happy Hour. We should be back on a pretty much weekly basis here, unless something comes up, but we'll let you know. Talk to you guys next week, and cheers.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.